time, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Friday! Welcome into the Fan Run Studios up Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime and we are clocking in tonight at 6:01, right in the middle of quitting time here. Congratulations, you've made it. The weekend is upon us and we are going to celebrate it in style here, taking you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Ooh, a lot of good stuff happening this weekend. You have championship weekend in the NFL for the AFC and the NFC. You got the Vols back on the floor of Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena against the Alabama Crimson Turd tomorrow. Yeah, big boo. Big boo. A whole lot of other goodies going on across the sporting landscape. But before we get into that, have to do introductions. I'm your host, Tanner Carson. To my left from a three-day absence, he's back. DB Daniel Brackman.
Yes, sir.
And up in the producer's perch, as always, it's my producer, Cole McCormick, who is pulling double duty today, technically. Had to be with me at Knoxville Stone Interiors earlier, about 1:30. We had a grand old time.
We did, yeah.
Got to see Dusty.
I was about to ask, is Dusty there?
He was
Dusty,
there.
Casey, Kelly's son, pulled up right as soon as I got there. And, of course, he popped out the car with her. Dusty just came running up towards me, man. Love that dog. Love that dog. But we had a good time at Knoxville Stone Interiors doing our monthly visit on Periscope. Talked Vol hoops, talked some of the staff changes that have been going on around the football program. And we had a good conversation with Kelly informing the people about all of their selection of granite countertops. And I'll never forget the look on my face when I asked her, so how many granite options do you have? About 1,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
It's a lot.
1,000. So had another good time over down there at KSI as well. But gentlemen, back to the matters at hand here. Tomorrow, back on the hardwood, Tennessee Vols are 2 o'clock tip-off, ESPN2. We'll have coverage. You do not have a ticket to the sold-out game. Yes, that includes the student tickets as well. Rick Butler tried to get his student ticket last night. They were all gone.
Well, didn't he say, though, that they were still, like, after the show, he said, well, never mind, there's still some.
Oh, did he?
I think.
I would think the safe assumption right now is there may not be any left. Yeah. That's a hot ticket, man. It's a hot ticket. You have 11-5. Not a bad Alabama team coming in here. Very inconsistent squad. We went through their schedule last night. Some head-scratching losses. Mm. They've got beat by Northeastern. They've lost to UCF in basketball, not in football. They've lost to Georgia State. They've had an inconsistent start to SEC play as well. Opened it up with a home win over Kentucky. It's a very good way to start it. Then they lost on the road to LSU and then lost at the buzzer at home against a pretty bad Texas A&M team. Before they bounced back Wednesday night, went up to Como and took down Conzo Martin and the Missouri Tigers. So hard to get a read in this Alabama team. Certainly plenty of talent that they do have. Thankfully, no Colin Sexton this time around.
And yeah, Colin Sexton single-handedly beat Tennessee's basketball team last year.
Let up Tennessee last year down there in Coleman Coliseum. It was not good. But not as good of an Alabama team coming in this year. A much better Tennessee team at this point as well. ESPN matchup predictor, if you still care about those numbers, 92.4% chance that the Vols win at home tomorrow. Does it not look like a spread is out yet?
I can find one for you.
Trying to find one. On ESPN, it doesn't list a spread. However, it's listing a predicted score here, 84.2 to 69.
Nice.
So I'm just assuming by that, that us being at home, I'm going to assume it's like 15.5. I'm going to go ahead and say 15.5. It's going to be somewhere in that neighborhood. But yeah, Vols back in action tomorrow. Cole, me and you were at KSI today talking a lot about Tennessee basketball and just the sheer domination of opponents that we have seen up until this point. And talk a lot about how the rest of January, certainly up until you have in early February, up until you have to go to Rupp. I'm not going to say anything's easy because it's the SEC. Anything can happen. You're going to have road games you're going to have to take care of. But the next few weeks compared to what lies ahead at the back end of the schedule, you have to think it's in Tennessee's favor, starting with tomorrow. Give me some early thoughts on the game tomorrow. We'll, of course, give final predictions before the end of the show.
Initial thoughts about tomorrow's game. I think it's going to be a lot like the Arkansas game was. I think it'll be a little closer, though. I don't think it'll be a total domination by Tennessee, at least not as bad as it was on Tuesday night. Alabama, they have a better team than Arkansas, I would say. I'd also say not as good as a lot of people thought coming into this season. You knew they were going to take a step back losing Colin Sexton. I mean, he was phenomenal last year for them. But they still have some pieces from last year's team still there, so you thought they could, you know, make things interesting. And they've been up and down, you know, have some bad losses, but also some good wins so far. Winning at Missouri the other night, I believe that was them. Am I correct? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
What is it?
Alabama beating Missouri at Missouri.
Yeah, that was correct? Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
One
so
by
I have,
10.
Yeah, some, so already have some road wins, some decent wins, some conference wins, but also some bad losses. I think it'll be a good game to watch. Obviously, I don't think Tennessee will have a problem, but it'll be a good Saturday afternoon basketball game.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything crazy to happen. Interestingly enough, though, I mean, a lot of people have pause when it comes to predicting wins against Alabama in basketball. They went through it on the drive, bringing up the total all-time series record. Alabama leads the all-time series 79-68.
That's sad.
That's interesting. That's very interesting there. And, yeah, recent history, too. Alabama getting the best of you. There was a 28-point victory down Tuscaloosa last year. That's not good. Even in some recent seasons where you have beaten the Tide, it's been pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty tough. I would expect them to – I expect everybody to give Tennessee their best shot the rest of the season. Even though it's going to be a home game for the Vols, I expect this to be a much tougher type of matchup. Before the Arkansas game, like right before tip-off, I thought it was going to be, yeah, a Tennessee victory. You pull away in the second half, but I thought Arkansas was going to keep it within single digits at halftime. That, of course, ended up not even being close.
Yeah.
But I think that's the type of game you should at least expect tomorrow, if that's fair. Do we
I
have a
found
line?
Found the line.
You finally found a line.
After extensive research, yes, the line is 14.5.
Not bad.
Currently.
So I said 15.5, 14.5. Okay. I wasn't that far off.
Not bad. Not a bad guess.
I'm impressed with myself, and I'm not even a gambler. I'm very impressed with myself. But yeah, it's this Alabama series just recently, man. It's talked about the 28-point loss last year. Let's look at the season before. Season before that, the 16-17 season, you did play Alabama at home. This is the last time you played Alabama at home. It was the regular season finale. You got a 59-54 win.
Okay.
So it's not been a while since you beat them, but it's going to be tough, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. You did not play them on the road that year. Let's see the season before that. Let's check out Barnes' first season. I just look at the record. 15-19 in Barnes' first season.
Oh.
Man, how far we come. We have 15 wins right now.
Who was on that team?
That was Hubs. That was Kevin Punter.
Give the ball to Hubs. He was the only one that could score
for
us.
That was Admiral's freshman year.
What about
Armani Moore?
Derek Reese.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I went to
My guy Devin Balkman was on that team.
Shimbari Phillips. I'm looking at the roster right now.
I went to elementary and middle school with Derek Reese.
Really?
Really.
Down in Orlando. Yep.
Yeah. Remember Ray Kasongo?
No.
I've never heard that name.
Vaguely, I remember Ray Kasongo. He didn't really play a lot. Kyle Alexander was a freshman. Oh, guess who else were freshmen off the bench? Lucas Campbell and Brad Woodson.
Nice.
Let's go. Still there. The bench mob. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Let me look at the matchup. Let me look at the matchup here. When did you play Alabama? You went to Coleman. 6-point loss. But yeah, it's just a tough recent series, man. But I think the good thing for Tennessee is probably the best thing for the Vols is the way that the second half against Arkansas went, the sloppiness, because in a victory where you scored 106 points, you won by 19, it was actually worse than the final score indicated. Barnes was pissed. Barnes was pissed. And he's never satisfied with anything, and he's a perfectionist. He comes kind of like from the Nick Saban type of ilk. I know that's a cliche comparison, but it's very kind of close when it comes to what they expect out of their team. And they expect perfection.
Yeah.
They expect greatness. And I'm sure he absolutely ran their ass hard in practice this week. And you know that the team's probably going to come out even more determined than ever, which is very scary if you're Avery Johnson in Alabama. We expecting a big type of bounce back first half, I would guess, just from the like the sloppy lack of effort at the end against Arkansas. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I guess.
Say that again. Sorry, I was reading something.
Would you expect from the way that the second half against Arkansas went, that translates to you just coming out and try to blow the doors off of Alabama in the first half? Like the team comes out kind of pissed just because Barnes is pissed. That's going to translate into a mad team.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, because how many times have we seen when Barnes, you know, questions or challenges a certain player or the team as a whole, they come out the next night, sometimes, you know, second game or whatever, but usually the next night, the next chance they get, they come out, whatever he was complaining about, whatever he challenges them about, they do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee takes over from, you know, from the jump.
Alabama right now, looking at SEC standings here, Alabama about right in the middle here. They're 2-2 in conference play, 11-5 overall. Let's look at these conference standings, man. Of course, Tennessee at the top. If you want to go by just a conference record, tied for first with, I can't even believe this still, South Carolina. 4-0 in conference, man. But 9-7 overall. Came into conference play at 5-7.
Didn't they lose to, like, Citadel or something?
They lost to Stony Brook, Wofford, and Wyoming.
Wyoming. I don't know why I got Citadel, but
yeah,
that's
Wofford,
still
Citadel,
absurd.
Close to South Carolina. Close enough.
Okay.
But yeah, man.
Still absurd. Still an absurd three losses right there, especially from an SEC basketball
Absolutely.
Team.
Yep. And the only other undefeated team right now in the SEC besides your Vols and the Gamecocks, the LSU Tigers at 3-0. Okay. Tremont Waters, man.
Leading
a really good squad down there. An old chubby cheek Will Wade. Doing good things so far down there at Baton Rouge. Let's see here. Other standings here. Third here. You got Ole Miss and Kentucky both at 3-1. Auburn's at 2-1. Already mentioned Alabama. Mississippi State had to get a tough win against Florida, man. 1-2 in conference play, but 13-3 overall. Arkansas 1-3 after losing to the Vols. Florida 1-3. Georgia's 1-3. A&M 1-3. And you have two winless teams. Missouri Tigers and Conzo Martin at 0-3. And whole Bryce Drew and those nerds from Vanderbilt at 0-4. Vanderbilt on Twitter, Vandy Basketball, announcing that Wednesday's game against the Vols is a sellout. I'm like, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I wonder how many Vanderbilt fans actually bought those tickets. 80%
orange, 20% black and gold.
I'm going 85%.
85.
Man, their team's a dumpster.
Bro,
fire.
Do you know how dumb Vanderbilt is? So I think it was my senior year of high school. Vanderbilt, Tennessee's coming to Memorial. And Vanderbilt got the great idea that the game against Tennessee in Nashville was going to be a whiteout game.
Mm.
So, everyone gets to the stadium. What are the colors in the stands? Orange and white.
White, yeah.
Who
That's
is
fantastic.
Vanderbilt playing?
A team. That's fantastic. A team wearing orange and white.
That's fantastic. It's in Nashville, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're the smartest idiots you've ever seen.
I was just like,
y'all
are dumb.
You got to love it.
Just dumb.
It's like the old saying, they have book smarts, but no common sense.
Yeah.
It's true.
They outsmarted themselves.
That's true.
Good job, guys. One of the funniest things, I wonder if it can translate to Memorial, even though Memorial's a very weird gym.
It is weird.
It's weird where it's set up, especially the seating. But remember the old, I'm saying old, it's been a couple of years ago, about Checker Vandy instead of Checker Neyland.
Yeah.
Take over Vandy, try to checker Memorial.
Oh, no.
I think you'd have a better chance of doing that. That'd be pretty damn funny.
The stands across from the press box, you could probably do that. You could probably checker over there.
Because
it's just straight orange.
That's so funny. I'm not.
Except for their Memorial. It's literally orange, 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 and you get down to the very last, like, two or three rows at the very bottom, and it's just, like, their student section. Student section in air quotes, because it's three rows of kids.
So well, kids good are too for lazy them. To study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nerds!
That's what I was yelling the entire time in the stadium. I was like, shouldn't y'all be studying?
Nerds! No. Well, good on you. Good on you. 865-546-8200 is our number to hop on here on Overtime. Great show planned the rest of the way here, taking you up till 8 o'clock, taking you into your weekend. We got more OT on the other side. Stay with us here. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Well, it's all. Rolling right along here on Overtime. Our number is 865-546-8200. Kind of stealing Cole's thunder a little bit here, but it's also kind of not really recruiting in a way. I mean, it is, but it is. It's not going to count for the class. So, it's been rumored, and this is, man, just more great news for the football program.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in the Matrix.
I feel like I'm in some kind of portal. Dang it.
You don't have the music.
I will in about 2 minutes.
Well, while you're working on that, it was rumored for a minute, and then it was kind of confirmed by Dan Harrelson, friend of the station, who just so happened to take a look at the Tennessee student directory yesterday. Mr. D'Angelo Gibbs, he is enrolled for the spring semester at Tennessee. The Vols officially land the transfer of the former Georgia safety, the former big five-star prospect for Georgia. I'm trying to get his official recruiting profile here, but man, that's just gigantic news because I remember his recruitment pretty well. Tennessee, this is back when is still Butch's staff. They're after D'Angelo Gibbs very hard. Very, very hard. Ended up not happening. According to 247, well, here we go. Top 50 player for the 2017 class. Yes, that is the 2017 class here. Number 4 overall safety in the class. Number 6 player in state of Georgia. High 4-star. And he is now at UT Knoxville. And how about this? He was a safety at Georgia. However, he's going to start his Tennessee career as a wide receiver, where he played in high school. Played at high school. I saw his tape as a wideout in high school. Insanely fast. Do we have the music?
Yes.
Take us to the transfer portal. Oh, yes. Let me get headphones, Cole. Say something. Give me your thoughts on D'Angelo Gibbs.
D'Angelo Gibbs, yeah. I was looking at his recruiting profile today. Top 50 player coming out of high school in the 2017 class. I believe he was the number 4 or 5 overall safety in the class. Yeah, big time get. I think it is interesting, though, that he wants to come in and play wide receiver, even though he was a highly touted defensive back, which when I heard he wants to play receiver, I did look up his old tape from high school, and he played both ways.
Was he balling?
Yeah, I'd say even better receiver than defensive back. I'm talking everything was thrown to him, he caught. So he's big time.
That consistency is key.
Yeah.
It is huge.
And, of course, he played down there at Grayson, so he plays top competition in high school as well.
About an hour ago, 5:17, so just a little over an hour ago, Mr. Gibbs himself took to the Notes app.
Uh-oh.
Our make favorite place to go.
Let's make it official.
Here we go. Thank you to the great fans of the University of Georgia for your unwavering love and support. Thank you to the coaching and support staff that do all they can to make the players the best they can be on and off the field. To my teammates, y'all have been a blessing and a brotherhood that I will never forget. Life takes us on many different journeys, and I'm grateful with an 8, with the number 8.
I like that.
It's jersey number.
Nice.
I'm grateful for every lesson learned to this point. I'm excited, and I look forward to the path that has led me to my present destination. From the moment I arrived in Rocky Top, Rocky Top is one word here.
Okay.
With the T capitalized.
Okay.
I was flooded with all the wonderful memories all the time I've spent here. With that being said, I am 100% committed to giving everything I have to the hashtag Vol Nation. Pleased to announce I will be attending the University of Tennessee. And right below it, he has some replies here. Media department. Already fast at work here. Bunch of custom graphics here. D'Angelo Gibbs, let's see here. All the official graphics. Strive, right under his name. Strive for greatness with another 8.
Yeah. Nice, I like it.
And underneath that, it has the power tees as college, then an arrow pointing to the NFL, says the league, and then an arrow pointing to a mom and dad holding their kid.
Oh.
Life. It's not like a real picture. It's like
it's like the bathroom.
Bathroom signs, yeah. But still. And then how about this icy picture? D'Angelo Gibbs in full uniform wearing the Stormtroopers.
Looking good. Looking good.
I love it.
Nobody can deny the Stormtroopers.
No.
You can't say no to the Stormtroopers. No.
Absolutely not.
Clean.
So that is good to see. That is absolutely good to see. Trying to figure out what the issue was at Georgia, though. What led to him needing to transfer?
Too much talent there, I'm assuming.
Two words. Kirby. Smart. Yeah. I mean, we've heard multiple reports. He's just hard to work for. I'm sure he's even hard to play for.
It's true.
Kirby Smart, hard to work for.
Who would ever thought?
Yeah. Can't picture that in my head at all.
Well, before the Sugar Bowl back in December, Kirby Smart did announce that he was no longer with the team. So, this is something that didn't come out of nowhere.
Yep.
Trying to get his backup here. Oh, how about this? I don't think I've heard anyone say this. He has a family member on the team.
Okay.
His cousin, Nigel Warrior.
Really?
Really? Interesting. Okay.
There we go.
Isn't Nigel his uncle? Is
Dale Ellis, is it not? Was it not? No.
No, Nigel Warrior's dad is Dale Carter.
Dale Carter. Yeah, Dale Carter. Okay. Yeah.
That's his father. Hand
up. Oh, it's his dad? Okay, it's his dad. Oh.
Yeah, that's his dad.
I thought it was his uncle. Okay.
Mm-hmm, that's his dad.
Okay.
It says here, I'm reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution story. Another one of D'Angelo Gibbs' cousins is J.R. Reed. Not John Reed, J.R. Reed. who has become a standout safety for Georgia since transferring from Tulsa. Reed made a decision to return to Athens for his senior season, bolstering what should be a strong secondary even without Gibbs. Okay, I don't care. Okay, this is before he officially transferred to UT. He talked about how he put his name in the transfer portal, where we are right now.
Yeah, looking back, I pulled up his recruiting
profile.
Doesn't
say anything
again
about any, like, drama or something. I'm trying.
I guarantee you, he just wasn't playing because of
probably just
that,
playing
all that talent that Kirby Smart brought in.
Yeah, I mean,
that's saying something because he's really talented himself.
Yeah,
same reason Justin Fields left, and I thank God every night before I go to bed that we don't have to face Justin Fields as a junior.
Exactly. Yeah. I pulled up his recruiting profile again, looking back over it. Number 49th ranked player in the 2017 class. Number 4 overall safety in the class. I forgot he almost picked Tennessee. It was between Tennessee.
Yeah, it was a really good recruitment. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting though, looking at his other offers coming out of high school. His primary recruiter at Alabama was Jeremy Pruitt, so the move to Tennessee was probably pretty easy for him.
Interesting.
Almost went there, and now favorite guy at Bama's here. Makes sense.
This Georgia article here. Okay, this gives more perspective. It talked about how there were 5 players ranked over Gibbs in that class he was part of. It was at number 3 overall class. They began almost playing immediately as freshmen in 2017. Gibbs watched from the sideline until games got ugly. At the time, though, nobody thought anything of it. It talked about how Dominic Sanders was still starting at safety. J.R. Reed transferred from Tulsa, started the other safety spot. And let's see here. Oh. So the doubts about Gibbs began right after a 2017 season ended when he elected not to register for classes. For any other student, sitting out a semester is no big deal, especially for a freshman. But for a student athlete who needs to earn credits to remain on the team, Gibbs missing the school in the spring was a big deal. His absence from class also meant he wouldn't be with the team for spring practices. Rumors swirled about his status with the team. Was he planning to transfer, or did he simply need time to adjust to life away from his Gwinnett County home? Said the latter appeared to be true in the summer 2018 when Gibbs returned to the team and began practicing for the upcoming season. But then talked about, in the 2018 season opener against Austin Peay, D'Angelo Gibbs did play extensively. But said he appeared considerably less a week later against South Carolina. And in Georgia's last seven games. Gibbs only played once. So there you go. Just couldn't crack the starting rotation. It's okay. We got talent at Tennessee, not Georgia talent yet. I don't think that would be a problem. You just got to hope that some of the stuff wasn't any like attitude type of issue thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not something you're bringing. But then again, seems like he's very grateful for this second chance and this fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, he's in classes. He's already taking classes at UT. Will he be available to maybe apply for some type of hardship waiver, play for 2019, or is he going to have to sit out a year? It's going to be the big question now.
I don't know. I mean,
only time will tell.
Yeah, it's kind of the same debate we have with Aubrey Solomon going on right now, the guy from Michigan, him trying to get on. I mean, he's applying for one. Don't really know if he'll win because don't know what kind of hardship he would apply for. But if he wins his, hey, go ahead and put one in for D'Angelo. Why not? Go ahead and put one in anyway. You never know. Could just make something up or, you
might
know.
As well.
Yeah. I mean, because we need him. And we need him bad. 2020 season, sure, he'll play. But 2019, we need that kind of talent on the field.
Either way, you have it on campus now.
Yeah.
And then you'll cross the bridge of when he actually plays when we get here. But other than that, man, great week of news for the football program.
Yep.
Great week of news. So, Juwan Jean's coming back. Was that the start of the week, was it not?
I believe it was Monday or Tuesday.
Wow, that feels like years ago now.
It does. I believe it was Monday.
Juwan came back, and then the week before that, of course, Chaney was hired.
Mm-hmm.
But then this week, yeah, Juwan coming back. Good news on the recruiting trail. Cole, you've been updating us with that every day.
Mm-hmm.
T. Martin is home.
Yeah.
Charles Kelly not taking the Maryland D.C. job. Who knows if he's going to stay on period. And now D'Angelo Gibbs. Man.
Yeah.
Weird stuff.
Good past couple weeks, though.
Good news is weird stuff, man. Let's hope the basketballs put the cherry on top tomorrow. Absolutely. You know, if you're counting the Lady Vols for your success, not that much of a good week, though.
No, it's not.
We'll talk about that later, though. I think this is something that is worth talking about. Don't you scoff at me, Daniel Brackman.
No. Not at you.
Oh, I was about to say, this is historically bad.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm scoffing at.
Bad stuff. We'll get into that a lot more after this break here. 865-546-8200. We're out of the transfer portal again. It was good to visit Hawkins, Indiana once more.
I love it.
Had to fight the Demogorgon. Had to rescue Will Byers.
I'm used to it now.
Rest in peace, Bob.
Yeah,
dude. Bob was such a good guy. And they just did him so dirty.
All he wanted to do was be a good boyfriend.
A
and
good
then
stepdad.
He wanted to be the father figure stepdad. That the Byers kids didn't have.
That they craved.
Work his ass off at Radio Shack.
Yeah.
Sad, man. Sad life.
I mean, he single-handedly helped Mrs. Byers out where Will was.
That's a good point.
More, I can't wait for season 3. More of overtime to come after this break here. Stick with us here. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on OT here, 865-546-8200. That's our number to hop on here. Let's talk about it, boys. Holly Warlick.
Ugh.
Sucks.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
Four straight losses, man. So, she already made their own kind of history again, losing three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time that happened since the mid-80s, and that's the first time it had ever happened in SEC play. They go to Alabama last night, and by the time I tuned in, it was a three-point game at halftime. Alabama. Actually, it might have been a one-point game. Either way, it was a one-possession game. And I'm like, okay, let's see what happens here. The Lady Vols get annihilated in the second half.
Yeah.
Just get absolutely annihilated here. Let's see how bad they got outscored in the second half. Let me do my math. Okay, they outscored 50-31.
Ooh.
Not good.
Ooh.
Alabama, by the way, not a good Alabama team. They were 9-8 last night. They are now 10-8.
Ooh.
86-65.
That's disgusting.
The Crimson Tide take down Lady Vols. Wow. The Lady Vols dropped to 12-5 overall, but that's not the worst part. 1-4 in conference play.
That's sad.
I'm not even
territory.
I'm not even gonna flex on y'all when I say that I do not know much about the Lady Vols basketball team.
Oh, it's okay.
Other than that, Holly Warlick is the head coach.
That's all you really need to know for this season.
But the thing is, even people that don't pay enough attention.
But what
everybody will always. Obviously, should know around here is the impact and the legacy Pat Summitt has.
Yes, exactly.
And that has absolutely just been soiled.
That was exactly going to be my next point. Yeah. The legacy that Pat started, created, it's pathetic. It's really pathetic.
I mean, she pretty much created the sport.
She created
put it on a national put it on the national
program.
Stage.
You can even say like WNBA wouldn't have been a thing as early as it was without Pat. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pat and Gino, Candace, that rivalry, it made people care about women's basketball.
Candace Parker to Mika Catchings, I get her name right?
Yeah.
Would not be anything if it wasn't
Shamika Holtzclaw too.
Holtzclaw. Yeah.
On the goats.
Yeah.
Without Pat. And it's just And especially Holly with the recruiting classes.
Number four and number one.
Exactly,
last 2 years.
She has brought in. And it's just, you know who it reminds me of? Bringing in this great talent and can't transition it to the game.
I wonder who. Yeah.
I don't even want to say his name.
Yeah. The thing here is, sometimes if a team is struggling, if they go through a losing streak, coaches are always going to be the first one to really get the blame. But then, you know, it varies from team to team. It can be coaching. It could be effort. It could just be you've had bad matchups, etc. We just talked about the recruiting numbers. These are great, great players that Holly has right now. And they are coming out. In some games, if they're close, they'll come out there and they won't even have like a real solid play drawn up.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're out there getting shot clock violations in crunch time.
Yeah,
they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
They really are. It's good.
It's awful. And then you have games like this in the second half of a close game. As soon as you get punched in the mouth a little bit, they just give up.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like my brother's varsity basketball team.
Ooh, how bad did they lose?
Like they're like 2-23 this season.
Not good.
Not very good.
That's not good. But going back to the Lady Vols, though, if the team is constantly coming out like that, you know what? It's your job as a coach to motivate.
Yeah,
it's your job as a coach to prepare.
Mm. And that's one thing I noticed, or like a noticeable difference between Pat and Holly, is when Pat was unhappy, she was in your ear. Her face was getting cherry red in your ear, letting you know what was going on.
The thing we talked about, and if you watch any Pat Summitt documentary, and especially when we're talking to Holly, Pat always had that reputation. She would tear into her players. It's not how like Nick Saban tears into his players, but Pat loved all of her players. It was like a very like stern, strict mother daughter type of thing with them. But Pat would tear them down. Holly's job was always to build them back up. Holly does not know how to be authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
Holly's a beta. I said it. Holly Warlick is
beta?
A damn beta. Yeah,
that's an insult in 2019.
Beta.
I don't know if you know. All right.
Beta.
She is. She is.
Am I wrong, or did Pat Summitt never have a kid not graduate? That was on 100%. Her team.
100%. 100%.
Correct? Okay. I thought so.
Yep. 100%. You know what? I was thinking about this today. One thing that is really hurting the team this year.
What?
Do you have a guess?
Fundamentals?
Well, that's part of it. But remember a couple, I believe it was at the end of last season, or maybe even just sometime in the summer, when Anastasia Hayes was kicked off the team.
Mm.
I think that had something to do with it, because thinking back to last season.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Thinking back to last season.
Wasn't she?
She was the gamer.
I was going to say, wasn't she a baller?
Yeah, at the end of the game, she's the one with the ball in her hands.
Do you remember the reasoning why? Because I remember hearing about it.
I think it was.
I don't remember why.
I think it was something breaking team rules, I think. Something like that. Yeah. Something. They never said what it was, but I think it was like team rules or something.
Dude, what?
She kicked her off the team, yeah.
Did she, as in Philip Fulmer?
I think, I don't know.
Everything I saw was a lot of the football players over the hell, even this year I've gotten in trouble, and it was just like,
if I had to guess, it was, sweep it, I don't know. I don't know. It was probably Holly, but that's what I think. Anastasia Hayes, in my opinion, she was, I mean, she was the baller. She was the ball handler. She was the best season player we had on the team. So
we got T-Cart tweeting at me right now. Just thinking back to his story he told us, he shared on the air about how Holly came to his place of employment and straight up told him that 25-8 was a good season.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's a good season for other programs. That's not good for Lady Vols, especially when that 25-8 includes getting bounced in the second round. Oh, by the way, for the second year in a row. Okay, I'm looking at Holly's overall record right now. This is up to date. Overall, 165-59. That's 73.7%. That's not bad. Conference, 72-29. 71.3%. That's not bad overall. However, you have to look at it in the context of these last four seasons here. The last four seasons will tell you everything. And this is especially with all of her players. This is somebody Pat never talked to, never recruited. 2015-2016. This starts the trend. Here we go. 22-14. 8-8 conference. Next year, 20-12. 10-6 in conference. Last year, set at 25-8, but 11-5 in conference. You already have four conference losses. You had five all last year. After finishing the first three seasons, first overall in the SEC, tied for second, and then tied for first, your conference finishes tied for seventh, fifth, and then tied for fourth.
That's terrible.
It's not bad. It's very bad. I almost said it's not bad. Well, it is very bad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
She's not going to get fired unless that team gets booted in like the first or second round of the SEC tournament. She's probably not going to get fired.
I need Phil to go ahead and just do the damn thing.
Oh. I don't think he's going to do it. I really don't think he's even concerned, as he said.
Gosh.
I'm here to get this football program.
Maybe if he looks at the numbers, he may be a little disgusted, though. I went through the SEC records overall, everything combined.
Yeah, but didn't you
as
say,
of now, the last four seasons, 30-23 in the SEC. That's terrible.
Yeah, but didn't you say that she was tied for first, then got second in the SEC, then tied for first again?
And then you haven't finished higher than fourth.
And when was that, first, second?
Last year.
She finished first?
Or no.
Lady Vols did?
This is her first three seasons. It was first, tied for second, then tied for first. And then you had...
Phil wasn't even... Battle Captain wasn't even there yet.
Yeah, you had an Elite Eight. You had a Sweet 16, another Elite Eight. And then that 16 team somehow went to Elite Eight. That bought her more time. Then it's been two back-to-back second round bouncing. It's bad, man. And over her head. And over her head. Oh.
That's sad.
I mentioned the historical context of losing four in a row, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Last time that happened, 1970. Pat Sump became the head coach in 1974. This was before Pat.
Yeah.
This is when this was a club sport.
Mm-hmm. It's just sad.
All time bad, man.
I mean, it's just, I go back to that story T-Carp told the other night on the show. It's just complacency. She just doesn't care. She just knows, well, if I do good enough, I'll keep my job. They're not going to do me. Phil ain't going to fire me. We've been best buddies for 30 years. I'm just going to ride it out here, get a couple more, make a couple more mil or
not
so.
Like Phil hasn't stabbed somebody in the back before.
Well, sure, but I mean, like DB said a second ago, I don't think he's concerned about it. He's concerned about building the football program back up. He said it multiple times. Lady basketball, you know, it is what it is. They don't make a lot of money. Yeah, we want them to be good. Yeah, Pat is the standard in the sport. You know, Holly, she's obviously doesn't care. But, you know, right now, football, it means more. It's the big money maker. Lady Vols,
I wouldn't say, and not to dispute your point at all because it was great, but I wouldn't say that Holly Warlick doesn't care. I'm sure she cares. It's just, as Tanner said, she's there to build them up. She can't be authoritative.
Yeah.
But there we go. I'm telling you, I'm having trouble talking to you today. She just can't be authoritative, and, you know, we saw that a couple years ago with Butch Jones as our head football coach.
I don't think she cares enough. If she cared enough, she would change her coaching style. You know, maybe her staff is the issue. It's not the players because she's getting some of the best players in the country every year. If she cared enough to really win and to really follow in Pat's footsteps, she'd change something. But she hadn't changed anything since she's been an assistant coach.
And if this was happening in like her first, second, third year, like, okay, we can cut you some slack. Like, we understand you're not Pat Summit. But I mean, this is her what?
It's like her fifth year in it.
Fifth year, and they're regressing?
Yeah.
But I mean, these are her girls.
Yeah.
This is her program.
Seventh year.
It's worse.
And they are regressing.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good at all.
Dire Straits, man. Dire Straits, that program is. And I've said it several times. I don't live and die by how they go, but it's just sad to see something happen to a program like
exactly.
that. Don't fall out of your seat, DB. That was almost really bad.
Yeah, this Lady Vols basketball season about has me doing it.
If they lost out for Tennessee men's to go to the Final Four, I'd take that.
Of course. Yeah, we'd take that.
I wouldn't deny that either. I would not deny that.
I'd take that. Of course.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe that's our KSI poll.
I could see us getting, I could see us people taking that the wrong way, though.
The Lady Vols fanatic.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I
don't need to say anything about that.
The radio station I was employed with previous to working here, I covered a Lady Vols game, and I could not believe the fan interaction there. It is crazy, dude.
I know, man.
It's not as
crazy.
They take
it serious. Imagine how they're taking this.
It's not as crazy as a men's basketball game, but they're like, they go in, bro. They're yelling.
865-546-8200. Have to take a break here. We are up against it. More of Overtime on the other side. Stay with us.
Get up. It's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
Last segment of hour number one here on Overtime. Make it a quick one here. It's going to be a quickie, but a goodie here. We got Ohio State playing Maryland right now.
Yeah.
Live.
Little Big Ten action.
Pretty good matchup there. It's in Columbus. Maryland's in the top 20. Keep our eyes on that one there. Just for some Friday night hoops. I'd like to play. I wish the SEC would play games on Friday nights.
That'd be fun.
Kind of wish they would.
That'd be fun.
I feel a lot of anxiety waiting for Saturday games. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Don't know why. NFL Championship Sunday coming up. First game to kick things off is the NFC Championship game. 3:05 on Sunday, the LA Rams at the New Orleans Saints. They've been the two best teams in the NFC all season. It's very appropriate that they do meet here. Mm. The Saints, a 3.5-point favorite. Then your nightcap. It's kind of weird because I'm always used to the AFC championship game being the first game of the day. But yep. AFC title game is going to be the nightcap, 6:40. The Chiefs, number one seed versus number two seed. Patriots and Arrowhead. Chiefs, a 3-point favorite. First time in a few years the Patriots have been an underdog, period.
Good. I like it.
First time since 2014 they have been a playoff underdog. It's been a minute. Gentlemen, which one of these are you looking forward to the most?
Mine has to be Kansas City and New England. Just has to be. I mean, Pat Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Chiefs versus Patriots. Eric Berry taking off the injury list. He is officially going to play.
Ian Rappaport had that news today.
Our boy, 29.
Eric Berry.
He'll be out there.
Oh, he's scared.
Eric Berry.
For the other team, homie, don't you dare.
Yeah, so definitely that one. I mean, I'll watch Alvin and the Saints play.
Alvin.
But I think the Patriot Chiefs game is going to be phenomenal.
Can my answer be both?
No. That's fair.
I'm going to have to say both. I mean, both these games are just so intriguing. As Cole just said, I mean, you have a veteran in Tom Brady, possibly one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, going up against young gunslinger Pat Mahomes. And in the NFC, you got and Eric Berry. And Eric Berry on the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. In the NFC, you got a great defense in the Los Angeles Rams and Todd Gurley on the offensive side, and the Saints, obviously, AK.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another veteran, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas. Great little roster. All four teams have a great roster. So when we do game picks in about an hour, I'm going to struggle.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I really don't know. It could go either way.
If let me ask you all this: if we get a Chiefs Saints Super Bowl, who are you picking?
Saints.
Going Saints. TC.
You say who you're picking, or who you be rooting for?
Who are you rooting for?
Both. Saints.
Saints. It's a cop out, but I'll have to be rooting for both if I have to do a pick. Saints got the better defense, man. Make it a clean sweep. I'd have to pick the Saints, but you know what? You can't lose either way. Either Eric Berry or Alvin Kamara get their first Super Bowl ring.
Well, whoever...
I'd probably feel better for Eric Berry given everything he's overcome and the fact that he's been in the league longer and Alvin Kamara still has long career ahead of him.
Well, either way, a vault...
He's going to win a ring. Yeah, every team.
Is J.K. still on the
Rams?
Yeah.
I didn't know because...
Cordero on the Patriots.
Well, they added... Yeah. C.J. Anderson, I didn't know if
he's still on the roster.
He's still there, yeah. Still
I mean,
yeah,
either way,
a ball's getting a ring
one ball is going to get a ring.
Yeah. If I had to...
I don't want to be Cordero.
I don't either. No. I was going to say, if you had to choose one, who would it be? Mine would
to get a ring?
Mine would definitely be A.K.
Mine would definitely be Eric.
Eric Berry, okay.
Yeah, it'd definitely be Eric.
Eric Berry.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fair.
I mean, he's been... Dude, not just the cancer thing, but the injuries he's followed, yeah, too. Yeah,
that's facts.
Man, but yeah, Chiefs Saints would be my dream matchup.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I literally couldn't lose.
AK going up against Eric Berry.
Yeah. I'm supposed to hate the Chiefs. I'm supposed to hate the Chiefs because they're a division rival. I can't this year though.
Yeah, I mean you guys, I can't. Y'all tanked.
I can't. I know.
Yeah, well, I know. I wasn't being hostile. I was just saying it's okay to root for the Chiefs this year.
I'll root for them this year. Sure.
Not root, but
well,
pull for.
I guess so, sure.
You want Eric Berry to win, not the Chiefs.
I do.
Oh, Khalil McKenzie, too.
That does it for hour number one here. Hour number two of overtime coming up next. Put it in your pants with your cupcakes. It's a little secret just for Robin.